You know, to think that people that have a sense of purpose, that they actually can stave off Alzheimer's. So, if we just find ourselves just floating around in life, then we're going to open ourselves up to some things that we might not want to deal with. That's why you got to have purpose. You need to have a purpose that you are fighting for.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of part four of More Than Conquerors. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of part four for More Than Conquerors.
We've been in a series, and the title of the series is More Than Conquerors. And we have been taking our text from Romans 8 and verse 37, where the Apostle Paul says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And we talked about that word conqueror and how it comes from the Greek word Nike. And, you know, we see Nike today. People wear Nike athletic gear. And that actually comes from the goddess Nike, who was the goddess of victory in the Grecian culture. And we see that it says here, we are more than conquerors. And so what Paul does, he uses the word Nike, but he puts another word in front of it, which means over. And so in other words, he says that we are overcomers. And so, you know, when we think about that, we should be able to overcome in every situation that we have to deal with in life. And so then we've been flowing through this idea of this lion in the streets and how that the lion stands between us and what it is that we need to conquer. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 13, it says that the slothful man saith, "There is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." The slothful man saith, "There is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets." And so we've been working on the premise that the lion actually represents an excuse. The lion represents an excuse. The lion was an excuse for the lazy man to not go out and do the things that he was supposed to do. So he came up short of fulfilling the goals that he had in life. And so we've been saying that an excuse is an explanation that's used to defend or justify a fault or offense. And then an excuse can work in the place of holding us back from achieving the goals that we need to achieve. And so this lion, this excuse, becomes a disabling justification. That is something that disables us. Now, God has called us to conquer excuses. And so when we think about excuses, excuses are incapacitating justifications. And we looked at Proverbs 22 and 26, which robs one of prosperity, right? It robs us of prosperity. That lion that's standing there is robbing us from prosperity. Now, I know some of you who maybe might be hearing this for the first time that you might wonder, prosperity. Now, what does he mean by prosperity? So we've been looking at Psalm 1:3, where it says that the blessed man or woman shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he or she does will prosper. And that word prosper, very interesting Hebrew word, it actually means to be successful or to accomplish that which is intended. So that's when I say prosperity, that's the definition that I'm using. I'm not talking about some pie in the sky, blab it, grab it type prosperity. You know, I'm talking about the true meaning of prosperity that we see in Psalm 1:3. That it means to be successful. It means to accomplish what you intended to do. And we see that excuses actually suck the life out of our dreams, our goals, and our prosperity, that it robs us of this prosperity that we're searching for. Now, when you look at this model, so this is like an overview of where we've been, right? The model for overcoming. So if you look at the bottom, there's you, and then on the other side, there's Psalm 1:3. There's the prosperity, right? And so now that bad lion is in the middle, right? And that lion is there to hinder us from reaching this prosperity. And so the messages that we've been dealing with have, if you look up in that left-hand corner, I've been preaching messages to tell us how to do what? How to overcome that lion. How to deal with that lion. The first message that I did was more than conquerors. And we talked about the fact that you are more than a conqueror and that it takes a lion to beat a lion. And you got to be a lion. You got to rise up to beat that lion that's out there. And I didn't preach this message. I'm going to preach it at some point, but the message is already ready. It's the Sunday that we had that snow and we had to cancel church. But you got to conquer your mind, right? If you want to be an overcomer, if you want to overcome this lion, you've got to conquer your mind. And if you don't conquer that, then the lion is going to beat you every time. And then last week, we talked about taking responsibilities, that I'm responsible for my actions. I'm responsible for my life, that nobody else is responsible, that if it's to be, it's up to me. And we talked about how that you got to bring God into the mix. But you are responsible for your life. If you missed that message, you need to go back and get that one. That was a good one, because it lets us, you know, we live in a society where people are always casting off responsibility. But we're talking about, you know, you got to own up. You got to man up. You got to woman up. And you got to take responsibility for your life. All right? Today, I love what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about passion and purpose. That if you want to beat that line right there, see that line? If you want to beat that line, you got to be passionate. If you want to beat that line, you got to have purpose. Because if you don't have passion or purpose, you are not going to defeat that line. And you will always stay on the other side. And you will always fail to fulfill the goals, objectives, and dreams that you have. Now, as we overcome this line and look at, and we're going to look at David. And David didn't have a lion to deal with. He had a giant to deal with. But David had purpose, and David had passion, and we're going to see that as we examine this today. And I just want to tell you today that if you don't have purpose, if you don't have passion, then you are not going to defeat that lion that's out there. When you think about the power of purpose, the power of purpose, and we see that, the power of purpose. Okay, you go to the next one. This was deep, right? I saw this. Those with a higher sense of purpose lived longer and were 52% less likely to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And then you see the study that was done, 2014. That's powerful. You know, to think that people that have a sense of purpose, that they actually can stave off Alzheimer's. So, if we just find ourselves just floating around in life, then we're going to open ourselves up to some things that we might not want to deal with. That's why you got to have purpose. You need to have a purpose that you are fighting for. And in the passage that David talked about, when he saw Goliath out there, and I'm going to go back to the 70s and give you a term that's back in the 70s, that he saw Goliath out there selling wolf tickets, right? And he was out there taunting the armies of God. And David comes up, and David comes and looks at all these soldiers who the Bible says that they were afraid, that they were hanging back. And David comes up there with purpose, and he comes up there with passion, and he says, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Purpose and passion. What are you passionate about? What purpose are you passionate about? The other thing that I saw, 10 studies that included 160,000 participants of age 67 and above, after 7 years, 14,500 had died from a number of causes. 4,000 suffered from cardiovascular disease, those who reported a sense of purpose at the start of the study were still alive. We're still alive. What's that song? I, staying alive. Staying alive. Right? Those with that sense of purpose were still alive. And then we think about passion, the power of passion, and actually took two quotes. I've been reading this book, and the title of the book is 12 Traits of the Great. In this book, it's written by Dave Martin, and he has a whole chapter in there on passion. And here's a couple things that he says about passion. He said, passion is the fuel that propels men and women toward any significant measure of achievement, excellence, or fulfillment in their chosen field of labor. Passion is what propels you to achieve, to excel, and to fulfill. Passion is what excels you to beat that lion down that's standing in your way. And then I love this quote right here. He says, every man will be remembered for his passion or forgotten for his lack of it. Every man and woman will be remembered for their passion or forgotten for their lack thereof. There's a whole lot of people in the grave that went to their grave passionless, without any passion. And so we see the power of purpose and of passion. Now, before I get into the message, I just wanted to do this real quick. And say, passion for your purpose trumps all excuses, right? Now, there's another meaning behind Trump than just president, right? But the meaning overcomes, right? Maybe I should have put that word in there. You know, overcomes. Passion for your purpose trumps all excuses, all right? You have no excuses. If you've got passion for your purpose, that overrides any excuse that you have. And then we look at, so I just put this up here. And you know, I'm going to do a whole teaching on this. I'm going to do a whole teaching on alignment. But just to throw this up here right now, that alignment with God, that when you know God's will and you are abiding in him, guess what's going to flow out that? Your passion and your purpose. Think about that. That when you know God's will for your life and you are rooted and grounded in a relationship with him, where does your passion and your purpose come from? It comes out of that relationship with God. And so everything in your life is touched with passion and purpose. Your spiritual life, reading the Bible, praying, sharing the gospel, you know, those things are rooted out of passion and purpose. Your health, the fact that you may need to change your lifestyle to have a better or healthier lifestyle. That's rooted in that. The fact that God gives you a purpose and a passion even for your health. You know, one of the things that I think about, and I'm going to say this in reference to the men, is that because generally the ladies, you know, outlive the men. But you know, when you think about men and a lot of men going to the grave at an early age, that you've taken all these years that you've learned and that you've acquired wisdom and you've acquired knowledge. And I know in my family, you know, all my uncles on my father's side, they died in their 50s. And my dad, he died in his early 60s. So I look at it and I say, you know, by the grace of God, I'm still here. But when you think about leaving here early, you know, all the things that you learn that you take to the grave with you. And so it behooves us to want to take care of our health so that, again, you saw those slides that I put up there, that people over 67, they still have purpose and passion. But if we're not taking care of our health, oh, it's getting quiet in here. Let me wipe the sweat off my brow. You know, if we're not taking care of our health, then all this knowledge that we have is going to go to the grave with us. And so God has invested in us. And I'm sure that out of our purpose and passion comes that desire to take care of our health. You know, if you got diabetes, man, that you want to fight that with purpose and with passion, right? If you've got heart disease, that you want to fight that with purpose and passion. And I would say that God wants you to do it too. Now, we know that our lives are in his hand, and when he gets ready to call us, there's nothing we can do about it. But we can do the best that we can right now to make sure that we're on top of things. Deliverance. Some people are addicted. Some people have sins in their life that are besetting sins that constantly keep them back. And they can't get the victory over those sins. I guarantee you, man, if you align with God and that your passion and your purpose flow out of that relationship with God, he's going to give you the power to be overcome, to overcome those sins, those habits, and those addictions in life. Now, you know, a part of that might be you going somewhere and getting the help that you need. But you'll have that power to overcome that addiction. Ministry. That whatever ministry God has called us to, that it has to flow out of our passion and our purpose, our vocation, even our jobs that we work, that you got to have a passion and a purpose for being on the job that you're at, because if you don't, then it's going to become routine and mundane. But if you see it every day as the fact that God opened this door for you, that God allowed you to go there, and you go there with purpose and passion, that you can make a difference. And then personal enhancement, you know, whatever it might be, you know, taking up an instrument, writing a book, writing a song, you know, whatever it is, don't let that lion stand in the way. That if your purpose and your passion are there, that you should be able to overcome any excuse and accomplish the goal that God has set for you to accomplish. As we look at, if you go to the next slide, Colossians 3:20, it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. That word heartily means with your soul. Same word for soul. And that means that you should put everything into whatever it is. Put everything into whatever it is that you're doing. Everything, that's your purpose. Whatever you do, that's your passion. Put your passion into your purpose. Now that's the introduction to my message. So this is a two-part message. So I'm gonna do part one this week, then we'll do part two next week. But you know, the first thing that I want to say is that, and let me go back real quick. We know the story. We learned it in Sunday school about Goliath, you know, who was this 9-foot giant who stood out in the valley, and he taunted the armies of the living God. And so here was David. He was watching his father's sheep in the hills of Bethlehem, and his father calls him to go and take his brothers some food. So he goes and takes his brothers some food, and as he arrives, he sees this giant out there taunting the armies of God. And so David, you know, in his heart, you know, his purpose and his passion begins to well up within him. You know, David is the sweet psalmist of Israel. David was a man after God's own heart. And so we know that David had a heart for God. Even though he slipped and fell, he had a heart for God. And as he had this heart for God and saw this giant out there taunting God's armies, something welled up within him. And so I want to say, when you have passion with a purpose, and I'm going to say four things and I'll be done this morning. When you have passion with a purpose, the first thing it is it's challenging. It's challenging. Passion with a purpose is challenging. Let me get to my scripture here. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 26. And David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? What David is saying here is that enough is enough. Enough is enough. What's standing in your way from accomplishing the things that God has called you to accomplish? You got to come to the point where you say, man, enough is enough. I'm fed up. That's it. I'm not gonna allow this lion to defeat me anymore. You got to come to the place where you say, enough is enough. And then when you say enough is enough, in my mind I hear David saying, man, this trash-talking giant got to be silenced. This trash-talking giant got to be silenced. And passion cannot be still when there are giants to conquer. Your passion can't lie dormant when there's things in the world that God has for you to do, that you gotta feel the challenge. Yeah, it's gonna be a challenge. But when you have passion, that, you know what? That's what passion feeds on. Passion feeds on the challenge. If there's no challenge, what do you need passion for? Right? I mean, if there's no challenge, then you can just kind of tiptoe through the tulips and do it, right? You don't have to bring anything up. You just routinely do it. But when you have passion, and you know, and I'm speaking from the youngest to the oldest of us here, that passion should never die in your life. I was watching this one program, and it was talking about exercise. And I know when I came to the health fair that we had at Bethany that day, they were showing us exercises, how we could do sitting down in the chair, right? So, I mean, it don't matter what age you are, right? That your passion, you know, you might not be able to get up there and do, you know, up one, two, you know, all that. You might not be able to do all that, but you can sit down in the chair and go one, two, one, right? You can do that, but if you don't have any passion, you're going to look at that and say, man, I don't want to do that. Yeah, it's a challenge, right? It's a challenge. Passion looks for a challenge. What are you challenged about in your life today? David said, who is this uncircumcised? Now, why did he put that in there? Why did he just say, who is this Philistine? He said, uncircumcised. Y'all know what circumcision is. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's challenging the armies of the living God? And I stand before you today, and I ask you the question, that here you are right here. Here is that goal that you're supposed to accomplish. Here is that thing that you're supposed to do. And here is that lion that's standing there. Who is that uncircumcised Philistine that's standing between you and the will of the living God? You gotta rise up to the challenge. The next thing that we see, that passion is not only challenging, but I like this. Passion is inspiring. It's inspiring. So the first one, you feel the challenge to rise up, right? You feel the challenge. And then in inspiration is when you have now the enthusiasm to rise up and conquer. Look at verse 29. David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? He said, look, there's a cause. I'm ready to rise up. You know, I'm ready to get right with God. I'm ready to take care of my health. I'm ready to give 100% in whatever I do. So what is that challenge?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of part 4 of More Than Conquerors. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, part 4 of More Than Conquerors, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request part 4 of More Than Conquerors. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request part 4 of More Than Conquerors. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.